my radio voice on. Welcome, everybody, to the most amazing podcast ever.
Yeah, we'll take it from there. It's the Allegedly Podcast. I'm your host, Theo Vaughn.
And I'm your other host, Matthew Cole Weiss. And you probably didn't recognize that voice.
I would have recognized it, dude. This guy is awesome. The pride of Parma, Ohio. He's a WWE superstar and a movie star now, Mr. Mike The Miz Mizanin.
What's up, everybody? Thank you very much for having me. Theo.
Thank you very much for coming here. And you also left out that you guys were both on some Road Rules Real World Challenges together.
First time I met Theo, it was on a casting special down in Palm Springs. Theo was the host.
Yep.
And I was trying to become what Theo was.
Now, what do you think?
It was amazing because when I was a huge fan of the Real World and Road Rules, and when I got down to Palm Springs, it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna make this show.
You were right there,
and I'm right there, and then I see Theo and Melissa. And I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, I was like, oh, I'm such a huge fan. He's like, all right, yeah, cool, thanks. All right, cool. I got to do this hosting thing. All right.
He didn't do the,
because they're not allowed to talk to us. They weren't right. allowed to. Yeah. They weren't allowed to chit chat. But I'm like asking them questions.
Right.
Like, yeah, remember on Road Rules when Holly did this and yeah, you know.
It must be weird now because I'm sure people come up to you and ask you the same thing, not only about that, but about your career. We'll get to that in the
interview.
It's daily.
It's daily. I'm sure.
And I'm surprised that Theo didn't use his casting couch methods, which that's how he and I met.
Is it?
That's not how we met at all, unless I was drugged.
Oh, that's right. You were drugged on my couch. That's what it is.
Wow. Jeepers, creepers. Well, I didn't feel anything. So
it didn't count. So, yes, Miz, today you are our special guest, our special judge, as we will explain, and our special interview.
Yep. That's how the podcast works.
Yes, our podcast is called Allegedly, and it is a competitive podcast where Theo and I compete each time to win the podcast as judged by you. There's three rounds. First round is a story, second round is an interview, and third round is a debate. And you were involved in all of them, but ultimately you will be the one to judge. Now, I know you've known Theo for a really long time.
It's
going
to be really hard for you.
Yep. It's going to be really tough.
As we just said, I was a huge fan of Theo about 20 years ago.
Yeah, I get
love
it.
Love it, bro.
But I was there when you hosted TMZ.
There you go. All right. So you were there. And then, and so you were one of the guys that basically said I was the worst host ever.
I was not.
In other words.
I was not.
I thought I did an amazing job.
I thought
watched
you did
the
a
show.
Great job.
I was like, this is great. The next week I see someone else on. It's like, yeah, at least he's not like The Miz. I'm like, wait a second here. And then every time like I would come, like a guy would have a camera on me at LAX or something, they'd be like, so like you know, how do you feel about being one of the worst hosts ever? And I'm like, I was really good, by the way.
I got you
guys ratings, damn it.
I was not one of those haters, but it did become a running gag.
Huge running gag. I'm like, great, I'm glad I was a huge running gag in the TMZ world. That's wonderful.
If you could do it over the TMZ, the guest hosting, would you do it over or no? Do you thought you did a great job?
I thought I would do it again and again. I loved it.
It was fun.
Love
and all
it.
Press is good press, to speak.
I guess.
So round one is Theo and I will each have a couple minutes to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to judge which story you enjoyed more based on whatever criteria you want. Mm-hmm. So we each have 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go first?
Nope, you're going to go first today. We're going to get 5 minutes on the clock, Sean. Are we good? Okay, Matt has his story. We can chime in or discuss as we want. Matt has 5 minutes.
I love the
minutes.
Head nod you just got. Like, it was just a, yeah. I got this. Sean, the time done.
Sean knows what's up.
Yeah.
Sean,
he looks really excited about the time, too.
Sean, by the way, is a huge wrestling fan and is basically holding himself back right now.
I can tell because he's on his phone right now, just basically texting or tweeting or Facebooking or YouTubing. He looks really, really enthused about what I'm about to say.
All right. So I'll go first. This story, and we like our stories to be Hollywood related because this is the Allegedly Podcast where we kind of peel back the skin of Hollywood, what it's really like. I worked as a director and stuff like that. And I had someone I worked with, I'm not going to say who, but who is now a giant superstar. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, for my birthday party one year, it was in my, apartment. There was about 10 people came over, including him. And I just happened to be friends with a lot of girls. So like 9 girls,
him and I.
I just wish I was so straight, dude.
Keep putting yourself over. It's all good.
I'd be so much.
I'm a director. I'm friends with a lot of girls. You're doing good in the story so far. Yeah. Me.
Anyway, Wow, this is just damned from the start.
You're losing, bro.
Anyway, so it was kind of like a loser birthday party. We were just kind of sitting around and like playing Scattergories, and like that's kind of my idea of a good time, though. This superstar suggests a game, and you know the game Mafia?
I've never played it.
It's kind of like a role playing game, actually, where like you get roles as hitmen or as locals, and then you have to close your eyes, and someone the mafia picks someone to kill, and then you have to basically figure out who the mafia is. Okay. All the townspeople.
Kind of a whodunit.
It's a whodunit, and so there's a spinoff of that, which is this game that is like that, where one person's the killer and everybody else is like citizens, and the goal is you have to figure out who the killer is.
So if we don't know Mafia, we probably don't know the spinoff. But carry on,
This is the idea.
You're winning right now, man. I'll tell you that.
And what you do for this game is you walk around in the dark and you shake hands with other people. Like you, and if your handshake, you get like if the person gives you a little like swipe on your palm, they're the killer and you're dead. You have to fall over and die. And then when the lights come on, someone's dead and everybody else has to make an accusation of who the killer is. And if they make the wrong accusation, then that person dies.
And you just lay there on the ground?
You could go have a drink, but theoretically.
Basically, you're the guy that they don't want in the game.
So the superstar friend says, why don't we do this? But instead of like shaking hands, we kiss, right? And if you get slipped the tongue, then that means you're dead.
Ooh.
And I'm like, for two things. My first instinct was like, ooh, I don't want to kiss these girls. Ooh, gross.
And are you still closeted at this point?
I am still closeted.
Okay.
So I'm like, but then I'm like,
you really went like, ew, I don't want to kiss these girls?
Yeah, no.
Were they good looking?
Yeah, a lot of pretty ones. And
great personalities? I mean, that's what I look for.
Mike, I'm gay.
I'm not sure if you knew that. I get it, but still, like, as a gay man, it's still like, ew.
No, there's a definite repulsion there.
Okay. Really? What about one that had short hair and like a shaved lip a little?
No, not into it.
Come on.
It's even worse.
Open your horizons, bro.
And so I'm like, all right, I don't want to kiss these girls, but I would hook up with this guy because theoretically, right, if I'm involved, then there's the possibility of that happening. So I was like, all right, I'm down for this. And so we get ready and he goes, oh, we need a host. You know, because someone's got to like be the person who Matt, you be the host.
You're such a good host.
And I was like, okay. And so obviously I'm not involved in this thing. And we play, and he goes around, and he was the killer, actually. And he kissed everybody. And the game was played. Lights come on and whatnot. And I'm like, all right, let's go for round two. And I'm not the host. And he's like, I got to go. And I was like, what?
No.
And I realized, you just played this game so you could hook up with every chick in my party, which is genius.
He just went to another party and goes, dude, I just made out with seven chicks and they were all hot with great personalities.
And I totally lost out on it because I was like, I was the guy standing there like turning the lights on and off. And I was like, wow, this guy totally screwed me over. And then he went to another party. He's like, hey, I've got this great game. That's his thing. He probably goes around and says, hey, let's play this game. But
As long as you're not there.
True story. Wow. True Hollywood story. I'll tell you who it is when we're done.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Big star?
Big star.
In movies?
In movies.
Now?
Now.
Mm, not okay. Then.
Then, but then? Wasn't a big star.
Okay.
Wasn't as big a star.
In one of your movies?
So all the girls were basically like, dude, we just kissed.
Yes.
This dude.
Absolutely.
Like, and he just made out with all of us.
Absolutely.
This is the best game ever.
There was a couple there who weren't that cute. And I'm like, they're really getting the good end of the deal.
Now, was Twitter out and Instagram?
Uh-uh.
Weren't those the days?
Those were the days, man. So, yep, that's my story.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah. All right, Theo. Interesting, I'll say.
Theo, you're up.
So I'm going to go back to, the challenge days.
Oh, this is not fair.
Very good.
Whatever. Look.
Those were great days, man.
They were great days.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. And I'm going to tell this story. So, first I'm going to say that Miz and I have done a little bit of philanthropy one time. I think it's how you philanthropy. I don't know how you say it. But we were in a Category 5 hurricane in Cabo San Lucas that completely devastated the entire city. And we rescued a penguin, a pelican from the ocean that had been thrown upon the shore named Petey, okay? And we put it in the shower, and for 3 days, people would get in there and, like, kind of, like, not really breastfeed it, but, like, feed it milk and cabbage. and and pour water on it and keep it alive.
This is a true story.
I believe it. I like how you said you rescued a guy named a pelican named Petey. Like that was his name before you already rescued. Like he was there. You're like,
he had documents. He was not illegal alien. If any repubs out there getting pissed. And then at the end, I think the tragedy thing was we tried to throw him back in the water. And somebody put him in, like, a pillowcase to throw him, like, to let him loose. And I think they just threw the whole pillowcase in.
That just, your whole story now is negated.
It was bad, okay? But I'm going to go to a different story. I'm going to go to a story where one of the first times that I saw a really big celebrity. This was in New York, and I was working. There was some reunion special, because they used to have, like, real-world reunion specials, and they would do them in New York. And we were there for one, and I was at a party in an apartment building that night in New York. And it was on Lafayette Street, wherever that is in the city. And John Mayer came to the party. He knocked on the door. And I'd been working as a tour manager for a musician named Josh Kelly, who's one of my friends, who's married to Katherine Heigl. She's a famous actress, and Josh is a great musician. And I've been working as his tour manager around the country. And so I knew about John Mayer because they were both from Augusta, Georgia, and his music was just starting out as well.
Right.
So he comes into this party, and next thing you know, he's like, oh, you guys had a party in the building and nobody invited me, right? And I was like, holy shit, that's John Mayer. But a lot of people didn't know who he was. Anyway, he ended up like taking one girl out of the party and making love to her, I assume, because she stalked him for months, allegedly, after that.
And her body was a wonderland.
It might have been, actually. And anyway, fast forward 10 years, I'm at the Comedy Store, and it's like 2 a.m. one night, it's about 1 a.m., and I'm walking into like a back room or something, and John Mayer like turns the corner, and we bumped right into each other. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, hey, John, I met you. And before I could say anything, he goes, I met you about 10 years ago at an apartment building that I used to live in Lafayette Street. Do you remember that? And it just blew my mind that, like, he remembered, you know? Because surely I'd sat and probably cried in my car after bad dates to, No More 3x5 or some of his songs. But I never thought that maybe his mind would have kept that moment in it, you know?
Wow.
So anyway, that was just kind of a neat Hollywood story. And then he got up and did comedy.
That's right.
Get out of here.
He's a stand-up comedian.
He was good, man. He was good. I think
he really tried at that for a long time.
Yeah, he did. And it showed. And I thought at that moment, I was like, he seems like one of those guys who he could have done anything artistic. And if it would have just, he happened to pick music first. Right. And that's why that's what his biggest success has been so far. Because he just had a natural gift to tell some stories. He's like, you know, if I like have a shitty, like if I, you know, if some bad publicity gets out about me, like sometimes it'll pop up when you don't expect it. You know, like I'll have just like I'll be hanging out with my mom about to have dinner. And the next thing you know, like this happened 3 weeks ago, but then it pops up that I'm like a sexual pervert, you know? And he's like, great. How's this soup going to taste now? You know, like, so he had some pretty cool jokes and some insight into his career, but that's my,
that's pretty good. So they were both feel good stories. True. Mine was feel good for other people, not for me.
But mine was feel good for me and a musician, but not for a penguin or some type of bird. Pelican.
All right, Miz. You have to judge that round.
That one wasn't really that hard. I mean, so far you've talked about a game that no one's heard of.
Wow.
And that's a spinoff of a game that no one's heard of.
It's true.
And you never told us a superstar. He's name dropping over here.
Listen,
when you're using celebrities' names to get it going, I got to give it to Theo. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a good, solid story. I mean, the guy remembered him from 10 years later.
Yeah.
I don't think the guy remembers you, to be completely honest with you, Matt.
All right. I'll just say we met the guy a couple nights ago.
Uh-oh.
Hey, now.
This is heating up.
He is
a big star.
On to round two.
All right, round two. Interview round. Matt and I are each going to interview you. You're the subject. It's going to be 15 minutes on the clock for interview. And at the end, you're going to judge who's a better interviewer.
All right.
So my first question is, one of my favorite things that you do or that you get to do in your profession is talk shade, talk trash.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that comes natural to you? Or is that like, do you have to write your shade in advance?
So there's a lot that goes into this. So I wasn't always really good on the microphone. I wasn't always that's real good, Matt. Right during your first question, you're knocking over water, whatever that was. That's real good.
That's for you.
Way to interrupt your interviewee.
Sorry.
All right.
Wow.
So I would never do that.
That's a built question because in the beginning of WWE, I wasn't the best on the mic. I remember I had to host. They like I remember being in there with Vince McMahon, and Vince was like, you know, we're going to have you as kind of like the Ryan Seacrest of the WWE. And I went, what? Like, I want to be like the big star. You know, I want to be like when I was a kid, Ultimate Warrior was the man. Like, let me be him. Not the host.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, they'll give me the mic. As long as I have the mic, I know I can get this crowd, you know, to either boo me or cheer me. So the first thing comes out where I have to host like this diva search where I have to memorize a number. And I wrote the number on my wrist because it was a hard number to remember.
How many digits was it?
It was like 7.
Oh yeah.
It's you tough. Know, it wasn't like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It was like a number. Okay. So I totally forgot it. As I was looking on my wrist, you could see me looking on my wrist and the sweat kind of made it go off. So I totally ruined that whole basically competition.
Did you just make up a number?
No, it was bad.
Yeah.
So at
that point, were you worried? I mean, you had to be worried you're going to get fired.
Oh, I was completely worried I was going to get fired. I went backstage and I was like, I am so sorry. He's like, no, that happens, blah, blah, blah. You know, like,
that's
and
cool.
And to his credit, he kept allowing me to host that show. Wow. And I, as time progressed, I got better and better. And not only that, that made me real. That was the first time I ever felt the freeze. Where it was like,
what do you do?
I said something and you just get a cold sweat. Your mind goes blank. You have thousands of people in the audience, millions at home watching you. And you don't have anything to say. You can't think of anything to say. And luckily they played music and let the girls just come out. And I was just like, and here are the ladies, you know?
Wow.
You know, so it was one of those things where it made me realize, okay, I have a lot to learn. Because when we were doing, me and Theo used to do, or Theo and I used to do motivational speeches or Q&As more or less.
Yeah, Q&As.
We would go to colleges and we would speak. And so that was my practice to basically becoming like a WWE superstar, along with going to, I also went to like wrestling school as well to learn the art of being a WWE superstar. So after I got done getting on WWE and messing up, I was like, all right, I'm going to acting school. I'm going to improv classes. So I went to IOS. I went to, and then I went to Groundlings as well. I had an acting coach that I went acting classes in. I was like, this was never going to happen again. And I was going to make sure of it. So it took a long, long time. And at every live event, like non-televised show that we do, I would always ask, can I please cut a promo? Can I please cut a promo? Can I please cut a promo? Because the only way I'm going to get better is if you're doing it. It's like being a comedian, right? When you're doing comedy, you have to do it every day.
Yeah.
And you have and you nitpick everything and you try to new stuff out. Some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. And you have stuff buried that are just like, if the crowd isn't going the way you want it to go, you have stuff in the back of your mind that you go, I can use this and it'll get them right away.
Wow, right.
So that's kind of like what I did. And now I'm to a point, I've been in WWE for about 10 years now, that I give me any crowd anytime and I know how to make them boo me, make them cheer me. Do whatever I need to do. So is there an art to trash talk? If kids want to become a WWE superstar, I say start cutting promos in the mirror.
So
we did a class. Like Vince did a class for like 7 of us. And we'd have to go in there and we would cut promos. And Vince would go, all right, cut a promo on armbar. All right, armbar. Okay. And he would just say a word and you'd have to do it. So I would practice that while I'm in traffic in LA,
right?
Like stop sign, start cutting a promo on a stop sign, you know, like, and then I imagine people were watching me, you know, my neighbors, like watching me just cut promos in my car, but wow. I would cut promos on everything because I didn't want to freeze ever again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to basically be able to, I don't know, be the best. I guess to be the best, you know, it's hard when you have so much competition.
Hey, well, you got to beat the man. That's what they say, right?
I was going to ask you to trash talk me, but I don't think I can handle it.
Yeah, do you think Matt could handle it?
Well, so far I've been trash talking you the entire time. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed.
I mean, from your TMZ days to your Mafia video little games.
Wow.
You ninny? I mean, that's great.
You ninny? Yeah, remember that?
Oh my God, I remember ninny. I wanted to use ninny as The Rock's jabroni. And I remember calling everyone a ninny.
Oh, back in the day on the reality shows, on one of the challenges that we did, I think we're in Mexico or something, and Mike would like literally be at night practicing outside. You ninny, what are you gonna do? You ninny.
What happened to ninny?
I'm like, bro, you're yelling at a cactus, Mike. Like, I'm not joking. He would be outside. And we would be like, dude, you're insane. You are never, I mean, I remember just like, you are never going to be a wrestler. But you've had this furiously blind ambition that's, it's compelling, man. It's like you don't even see the fact that you can't do something.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's, you have to. Did you think when you were going to try to become a comedian? I remember you trying your stuff on the bus.
Oh, yes.
True, we were like, Theo wants to be a comedian. Theo, go up on the bus. And they had a microphone on the bus. Cut up, start doing your comedy act. And he had this like act where back then there was like these the phone calls. Like you can dial down the center. And he was like, why are they all making it so sexual, man?
Yeah, rollover minutes.
Rollover minutes, you know, dial down the center.
And pound,
pound, yeah, exactly. It was the, it was like, I was like, dude, he's worst. Gonna be good. And then I remember seeing, then I remember going to the improv, and I didn't realize Theo was working that night. And I was like, oh my god, Theo! And he was the main event. Like right. It was like, this was like probably 7-8 years later. He was the main event and stole the show. Like yeah. I've never been so proud, because it was like you could see the hard work and you knew that he wanted it. But so many people will come up with excuses to not do it. Yeah. You know, but he didn't. He basically became the main event, and now I can't wait for your Netflix special.
Well, this thanks, win, man. This wow. win is not going well for me.
I appreciate it.
No, you're doing real well,
I
Matt.
Just leave.
Wow. No, that is crazy. Me. That and was your first wrestling match against me? Was it in that ring in Mexico?
It wasn't my first match okay. because I was on the independent wrestling.
Okay,
and we were in Siamese like.
Yeah,
like,
you had to put a woman on your back.
You had to put
and
a woman.
Wrestle each other.
Oh, wow. Was this one of the challenges?
It was, it was like soap. So it was like really slippery.
The whole ring was filled with
soap.
So suds.
We were there for like 4 hours, just basically slipping off of each other, going, this is fun. It's like, all right, let's just.
It was a draw.
Let's just do it. It was a
draw.
Yeah.
Draw. I have a question. So what city.
Wait, isn't he doing the interviews?
No, we both are.
We go back and forth.
Oh, you go back and forth. Yep. So yeah. Now it's your turn.
It's his turn.
After 20 minutes of your one first question.
He's cheating a little bit.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What's it really like on the road as a wrestler?
What's it really like? You're on the road 250 days a year. It's nonstop all day, every day. I mean, I leave probably L.A. on a Friday at like 6 a.m. usually on a flight. Get in around 2. I'll go work out wherever it could be, like, I don't know, Omaha. And
yeah.
You basically find a Gold's Gym or a LA Fitness or whatever gym you can find. Go in there, work out. You go get a meal at the local Outback or yeah. Texas Roadhouse. And then you go to your show. After the show, you go either to the hotel or you drive on to the next city, which is usually around 3 hours away. And usually you drive with whatever superstars you want to drive with, whoever your friends are.
Who's the best superstar to drive with?
I usually drive with Dolph Ziggler and Zack Ryder.
Okay.
They're fun guys. And Dolph's actually has been doing comedy.
I've seen him around the clubs here and there.
Yeah,
he's a very friendly guy.
He's been doing, he'll sit there and he's funny. He's so funny. Like, he's so quick-witted.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that I think he'll be really good at.
Who's like the not funnest guy to probably ride with? Who wouldn't you ride with probably?
I'm not like that guy. I'll ride with whoever. If a guy needs a ride, I'll give him a ride. I had so much stuff when I was first coming in with the WWE that I was like, all right, I will never be this. I will always be nice to everyone.
Right.
Kind of learn your lesson when
butt of a lot of jokes.
Back in the day, I was from the real world. And when you're from the real world, you're not supposed to have any talent. You're not supposed to be able to do anything. You're a reality star.
Yeah,
you're nothing. You're a nobody. So you have to kind of walk over. And then you're coming into the WWE where it's almost like a fraternity, not just with the superstars, but with the audience as well. So it was kind of one of those things that I had to really elevate myself and prove myself day in and day out. And I'm still proving myself to this day.
Yeah. It's weird how it puts that chip on your shoulder. Reality TV puts this weird chip on you a little bit.
But you guys superseded it. All of you. I mean, you two specifically, there have been a few, right?
Dave Gingioli's on the Grimm right now.
Lead guy.
Jamie Chung is doing amazing in movies.
There's a beautiful young black actress who's been doing it for a long time. Lucinda.
Oh, Jacinda?
Jacinda.
Jacinda Barrett?
Yeah.
Jacinda
she's
Barrett.
Not black.
She's real world. She's not?
No.
No.
Oh, white then. She looked black. I think my
Australian?
Settings
are
Australian.
Australian.
Yeah.
Australian.
Yeah,
my settings are
it.
Off on my TV.
She did. She did.
I have it on arcade, so everything's like really.
It's not color corrected yet.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's like still from the 50s.
All right. My question is, Mike, why do you hate me so much?
Why do I hate you so much? Yeah. Well, you said you're from TMZ. No, I'm kidding. I actually really enjoyed doing the TMZ thing. I thought it was a blast. I had so much fun with you guys. You guys were so nice. And it's one of those settings that it's like, this is like, oh boy.
Right.
They just threw me in. They were like, all right, go host.
You are kind of like, thrown into the
I'm like, wait a second. Like, what do you want me to do? All right, what do we got? And then someone says something and you have to make a funny joke. And it's like, if it's, you know, not really a funny situation, it's like, all
right,
great.
Right, right.
But you guys were great.
So you don't hate me?
I don't hate you.
Okay.
Good. I don't hate anybody.
Oh, good. Well, you might after this question. have you been propositioned by a lot of gay men?
By a lot of gay men?
Yeah, over the years. I'm sure that you are a, you know, I mean, I know personally.
Matt thinks you're sexy.
I think you're one of the most gorgeous people I've ever seen.
Well, thank you very much. But I don't think gay men like propositioned like how, like, hey, do you want to come home? Can I get your number? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, not like, hey, I'm a fan, but more
like on
hey.
Twitter. I mean, you get some here and there, but nothing like that. It was like, you know, hey, here's my number. Give me a call.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's never happened.
No, not yet.
All right, well, here's my number, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll play a game with you where I can make out with seven chicks, even though I'm married. I'm just kidding.
They're not going to show up, though.
I'm going to go to this. What city has the best ring rats? And I know you're married and you have a very lovely wife. And I know you would never be adulterous.
I don't think it's like that anymore, to be completely honest with you. Like back in the day, like in the 80s, I think there was like people would be at the hotels, like every hotel, no matter what, wherever. The only time that people really are at our hotels, like in full fledged, like hundreds of people, is like Europe, you know? So I don't think they're, I don't know. I've never really noticed them, I guess you could say.
Right.
You know?
Wow. The husband.
They have to exist.
They have to exist.
I guarantee
you. Do you see them like with single wrestlers? Do you see like, you know, I'm sure they have chicks just showing up, but that's anybody on the road.
I think that's anywhere. But I mean, it's like, I don't know what you consider like ring rats. You know what I mean? Like, is a ring rat like a girl that you're at a club?
Like a group
girl. This girl comes up and is like, knows who the person is. Does that make her like a... You know,
but I mean, chicks around the ring that are just like, you know, have their hooters halfway out. And just, you can tell they're ready to just tag team after, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've seen my wife.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't look around either. Yeah. And I'm not asking you specifically for your endeavors, but if you notice, like, what city do you think has the best ring rats?
Who has the prettiest girls
that are wrestling fans?
I don't know, to be completely honest with you. I don't really...
It's a lot of young Latino men as well.
Is it?
Oh, I remember one of the most touching things I've ever seen in my life was, I don't know what it was. It was you were at Staples, I think, and there was this father and Latino son, and the son was about 4 years old or five, and him and his dad were the same height, and they were both wearing... championship belts and crying whenever you came into the ring.
Oh, man.
It was unbelievable.
I'll tell you what, our fans are the most loyal fans in the world. I mean, it's incredible to go to, like, say, Europe. I just got back from a 21-day tour in Europe, and every place we went to, every hotel, there were fans just lined up, wanting autographs, wanting
so
anything.
Amazing.
Signs, like, it's incredible the impact that you actually have on people's lives.
So do you oil your own body or do you have someone do that for you?
Are you offering? Is that what you're doing, Matt?
I am.
He might. It's a good question.
I do oil myself.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you start with? I will ask this.
There's actually this new stuff that the makeup ladies gave me. It used to be baby oil or baby oil gel, like the gel have. But now
babies are gelling now?
You know, I guess so. Gelling. Are you gelling?
I don't know.
So now there's I don't even know what it's called, but it's the makeup ladies gave it to me and it's amazing. It smells good. You know, it gives a good shine, you know? So when you're out there and the lights hit it, it makes sure that you have an extra, you know, makes you extra like ripped.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Well, anytime. Just use my number.
There it is. it is hard to reach my back, you know. So
yeah. Just call me.
There you go.
That wasn't a real question, but it really was. The real question: have you ever had a celebrity or someone come up to you that was a surprise wrestling fan that you didn't realize?
We have a lot of Seth Green, Mark Wahlberg.
Wow!
Like these are people that I like come backstage, and I was like, wow, they're fans, you know. You know, I've gotten to meet like Arnold Schwarzenegger is the biggest WWE fan.
Really?
And I got to get bitch slapped by him.
No.
Oh yeah. I was like, wait a second.
Wow. Dude.
You're telling me that Arnold is just going to bitch slap me. And they're like, yep. I'm like, awesome. This
wow,
is the best
dude.
Day of my life.
And
the
was Terminator. That on camera or no?
Yeah, it was on camera and everything. It was me, Hogan, Joe Manganiello. I don't know if you guys, from True Blood,
Of course,
was, they were promoting Sabotage, the movie.
The movie.
And we had a promo segment, and I remember I wanted to use this one line of like, I know you're a huge fan of my movies. Marine 3 Home Front and Marine 4 Moving Target. You can get them on DVD and Blu-ray right now. You know, and then and it was just, it was one of those moments where Joe Manganiello kind of pushed me. And then he pushed me into Arnold, which Arnold bitch slapped me. And then Hogan threw me over the top rope.
Wow,
I thought this, I was like, this is awesome.
You just described my fantasy.
I know, right?
Wow. Joe and you and Arnold, I'm imagining him about 20 years ago, yeah, but we'll go with it.
It was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool moment for me.
That's really cool.
Now, I'm sure, like, if I even eat, you know, a good bit, like, and then go for a run, sometimes I get a little queasy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, has there ever been an instance in the ring where someone kind of pooped themselves a little bit and you had to deal with that? Like, how does that deal?
There's been stories that people have had accidents in the ring. It happens more often than not, and a lot of gas.
Really?
Sometimes there's some gas, and you wonder if the audience can smell it. Because it's like, you know, and you're breathing heavy. So it's like you're tasting it, and it's not very fun.
Ooh. Who's probably the gassiest, do you think?
Oh, Big Show.
Really?
He is 500 pounds. He is 7 foot tall, and he...
Wow, they've left an impression on you.
The best running gag that he has is like he'll get in an elevator, and once he's leaving the elevator and the door's closing, he'll just let it rip and walk out. And it's like, dude, come on, man.
Wow, well, that's how he wins, man.
He wins. Definitely wins in that one.
Yeah, that sounds like a finishing move, huh?
Now that you're getting into acting and you've had the Marine, as you said, the Marine movies.
Getting into it 5 years
ago. And his new Christmas movie.
Yes.
Yep. Santa's Little Helper.
Yes. How can people see that?
DVD and Blu-ray or iTunes. It's out right now. So awesome. Definitely get it. Santa's Little Helper. It's about a guy who is a slick, fast-talking businessman and kind of has everything fall apart in his life. And he's looking for something. And Santa Claus needs a new right-hand man. So he kind of has to go in a competition to become Santa's Little Helper.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. All right, have you found that the film world is more difficult to get into than the wrestling world? How do you see the
I think they're both really difficult to get into. I mean, if they weren't, then everyone would be doing it.
True.
Even though everyone in LA is trying to do it, but they're trying. But WWE is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It's not only acting, it's not only athleticism, but it's traveling. It's nonstop eating right, working out. You know, you're basically, you know, it's a theater.
I'm tired just hearing you talk about it, dude.
It's a big theater, and you get instant gratification. You know, if they're booing you or cheering you. In a movie, you get a bunch of different takes. I mean, you only get one take in WWE.
Right.
So you get a bunch of different takes, and you don't get people chanting, you suck, or you're amazing, you know, so you don't get that instant gratification. So there's definitely different elements that make them difficult and fun.
Cool.
Now, there's rumors that, or not rumors, I mean, there's always been, you know, there was huge, like, steroid use when I was young in WWE and in wrestling. I mean, you can really visibly see it, I feel like, if you see a lot of those wrestlers, you know. And I've experimented with drugs like that when I was younger, you know. Like, so, I mean, I think it's even more recognizable to someone who's been down that road. Do you feel like there's a real, like, that's not allowed and that's not part of the game anymore these days in wrestling?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are tested more than an NFL, Major League Baseball player, or an NBA. I mean, we are tested nonstop all day, every day. We're not allowed to have Sudafed.
Wow.
You have a Sudafed, you're out 30 days.
Wow. And
yeah. So, I mean, it's legit. Like, the stuff that maybe got away with back in the day, you don't get away with now because we are, it's, I mean... And kudos to WWE for doing that because it kind of like they took an interest in our health.
Right.
You know, like we get tested. Our hearts get tested. You know, we get tested every 6 months. We get our blood tested. We get blood work. We get, you know, our heart monitored. And, you know, it's great.
Wow, man.
And do you feel like there's a, like you mentioned the other sports, why is there higher scrutiny with your sport, do you feel like?
I think that, you know, I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I think it's just one of those things. Maybe it's not really higher scrutiny. I mean, maybe it's just WWE being like, listen, we're going to be overly cautious with our talent because you are our talent. You are all we have.
Right.
And we need you in the best possible shape and the best possible form that we could possibly get you in.
Wow.
You know?
Do they literally like look at your body and say, or have you had this experience? And they're like, you got to lose, like they do in acting with women sometimes. Some people, like, you got to lose 10
some people.
Pounds.
Some people need to lose weight. Luckily for me, I'm not the guy that's like jacked, you know, and huge. I'm more of your, not really average, but I'm more of a relatable guy, right? Where I've used my brain more than my brawn. Right. So
surprising that is even possible,
right? So it's one of those things, like, it depends on your character.
Right.
If your character is the leanest person in the world and you get fat, guess right. what? Or they'll make a storyline out of it. That's the best part. WWE is so good, and it's live. Every Monday, you know, it's live. It's Monday Night Raw. So, you know, they can change storylines like that.
Right. If we ever need a spotter, I'm around.
Spotter for what?
Thank you.
I love this. I don't even know if you know what it means.
How many times does he do this? I feel like
he doesn't do this often, bro.
No, never.
No.
All right.
This is a special occasion. This is just Thanksgiving. I'm going to ask you this. So, a celebrity that you met that you thought would be super cool, because you've had a ton of experiences in Hollywood now, and that turned out to not really be your favorite, like, kind of changed their perception of you in person. Like, for Matt, it was Claire Danes.
Always.
Really?
Yeah, she's been cunt to me every time. Claire Danes and Cameron Diaz.
Well, now she's going to be really nice to you.
Well, fuck her.
I've had people, like, a lot of people have had those celebrities that you wanted to meet them so bad, and then when you meet them, it's like, I can't believe they're so bad. This is terrible. Mine have always exceeded my expectations.
Oh, wow.
I once did the movie Campaign. Mm-hmm. My part got cut, but who's counting? But so anyway, I get there with Will Ferrell.
Zach and Will.
Will Ferrell. So our scene is basically there's a band, there's cheerleaders. Basically, Will Ferrell's character is running for office, and he's using all the bells and whistles to do it. He uses me and Boston Rob to introduce him.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so we introduce him. He comes on a zip line. The cheerleaders go. The band's going. There's pyro. There's everything. So this is a long scene. This is like a 15-hour day. So as a big star, and he has a huge speech. It's probably a good 2-3-4-minute speech that he has memorized.
Wow.
So he gets down there, does his speech. Now, normally when I'm acting, I'm like, okay, I gotta, you know, I could have done this better, you know, and you start thinking in your head and you go over and you sit in your chair and you wait for the next scene to get ready. Him, on the other hand, he went to every single person and had a distinct conversation and knew everything about it. When it was my turn, it was like, it was not even my turn. It was just, I was just closer to him and he was like, hey man, how's it going? He's like, and I started talking to him. I was like, oh my God, this guy actually cares and actually isn't just looking over my shoulder to see who's more important to talk to or get this guy away from me. It was like a real conversation with every single person.
Huh.
Now, fast forward about 6 years later, I have to do an interview, a thing for like integration for WWE, as well as Will Ferrell was doing Get Hard with Kevin Hart. So I got to interview Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. Not thinking that he would know exactly who I am, but going off of your story,
right,
where the guy was like, John Mayer was like, oh my God, yeah. I walked in and he goes, Mike. And I go, Will. I go, wow. How's it going? I was like, I couldn't believe how amazing he was.
That's awesome.
And The Rock was the same way.
Yeah.
I met The Rock. I got to wrestle The Rock. And I remember my first movie, I actually texted The Rock and then he called me back and was like, hey man, I know it's your first movie. And he just gave me the most amazing advice.
Oh wow!
You know, so
that's
it's
really
like
cool.
It's one. So I don't have.
Yeah, he bought
the bad. I have the good, and I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that. You know, so
yeah, I had that with Oprah.
She was
great with me.
Oh yeah, that's true. Huh?
Fantastic with me.
The Rock bought us dinner one time, just randomly. He just came over to our table, and somebody said started talking to me about us dinner at a Mexican restaurant.
That's cool.
One time.
Really
cool.
Yeah,
I had that happen with Julie Andrews.
Did you?
We live very different lives. Very different lives. This is not a joke. I think it's my question.
Okay.
So these little shorts that you wear, right? The trunks, sorry.
Yes.
And if you ever need help with someone, you know, picking
help
out
what?
Trunks. I don't know. This
thank
is
you.
Picking them out of his butt cheek.
Thank you.
Do you get self-conscious, like wearing stuff? And like, do you ever have to like...
When I first had to wear them, when I first started with WWE, I didn't want to look like the quintessential wrestler. You know, I didn't want to wear trunks. I didn't want, you know, to look like that. I wanted to look cool, I guess you could say, like I guess cooler in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that I wore like shorts with these, like, I just wore a bunch of different stuff. I wore a bandana with a fedora, thinking it was the coolest thing ever.
Saying ninny.
Probably, yeah, saying ninny. I don't know. It was just one of those things, like, and then I got fired by Jeremy Piven because he was the guest host that week.
Right.
And so the next week I was going to come back and I was going to wear a mask. And everyone couldn't know who I was, so I wore trunks for the first time. When I got back, Vince, one of the talent relations guys goes, Vince loves you in trunks. You are now wearing trunks for now on. And I was like, no, I don't want to wear trunks.
Dang.
I don't want to wear trunks. And it's like, if Vince McMahon says you're going to wear trunks from now on, you're wearing trunks from now on. So I started wearing trunks and I haven't went back. And honestly, I haven't really gotten self-conscious because I have an amazing body. No, I haven't really gotten self-conscious about it at all yet.
Is there ever any worry of anything falling out? Or they're pretty tight?
It's pretty well in there.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Does anybody ever chub out a little bit while you guys are out there?
That was my I was nervous in the beginning with that kind of thing happening. But then, I think you're so into what you're doing in the ring that you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Do guys wrestle with girls?
Guys don't wrestle with girls, I
bet you if that would happen a lot more if that happened, right?
Well, we don't put our hands on the women, but the girls are out there. You know what I mean? Some have managers as girls and some have like, they have a relationship
part of the
or something.
Crew. Gotcha. Okay. Theo, you're up.
Okay. I'm going to say this. You didn't
have it pulled up.
I got it.
That's losing points, buddy.
Okay, take them away, brother.
I've got them all here.
I mean, he's on point, and he's actually guiding. He's like, it's your turn, it's my turn, your turn, my turn.
It's called tag teaming, actually.
I also promoted your film.
Yeah, he did promote my film.
Are you smart or not, Mike?
I think I'm very smart.
Yeah?
Well, I think you would have to be a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
And a movie star.
Do you feel like you are... Do you feel like you, is your character though, do you feel like it plays like kind of like an all-American kind of guy? Like, or
I've been doing, to be honest, it's my take on what I think Tom Cruise is. Like what I think Tom Cruise would be like if I ever met him.
If he was a wrestler.
Like I was studying his interviews because when I came back, I wanted to be the biggest movie star possible. But I've done all movies. All my movies are straight to DVD. I wanted to play the biggest movie star possible. So who's one of the biggest movie stars out there? Tom Cruise. So I would watch all his interviews and just some of the stuff that he would say it would just be incredible. Like one of the lines I think he used was he was talking about Scientology and he's like, if I see someone pulled over, I know I have to go over and help them because I'm the only person that can help them. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm going to use that, you know? And then he'd be so intense and then start laughing and then be really intense again. And I'd be like, I'm using this. This is my, this
smart.
Is my, this is it.
So you went and enrolled in Scientology?
No, I didn't enroll in Scientology, but it was one of those things that kind of motivated me to be like, that's my new character. So I used to be a quintessential all-American, whatever, but that's kind of the new thing that I've been doing.
So a lot of the inspiration comes from Tom Cruise from watching those interviews.
Yeah.
So when you, part of your job is looking amazing and having this great body. Jesus. I know when I, fantastic body, it's just perfect. I know when I work out, sometimes I'm miserable. Do you do that?
I honestly do not like working out.
Really?
Really?
I hate it, man. I love the feeling afterwards.
Yes.
But my problem is I work out like, when I get into the gym, I work out very hard. And when I'm done, I'm just so worn out. And then you go wrestle for 20 minutes to 40 minutes a night. Your body's just depleted. And now I'm 35. Like when I was in my 20s, oh my God, I'd work out 5-6 days a week, wrestle an hour and just be ready to go. Like, hey, we're going out tonight. Now I'm just like, I just want to sleep, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's weird. It's like, I remember when my dad would be like, I'm so tired. Oh my God. And I'm like, well, you're so tired. Let's go. I have so much energy. And I'm like, now I get it. I'm starting to get it. Like things are starting to ache that never ached before.
Yeah.
Like I have arthritis in my right ankle. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm 35. I shouldn't have arthritis. Like that's for old folks.
Right,
that was
exactly.
wrong with me.
You know,
so it's just one of those things, you know.
Your father is one of the craziest characters in the universe.
He is. He is definitely a crazy character.
He took us to a gymnasium one time when I was visiting Mike, and you could only all get in and out of the same door of this truck. I remember, which was pretty awesome. First of all,
pre-planned?
No, his dad kind of reminded me a little bit of. I don't want to say Joe Dirt because he's not really like that, but maybe Kenny from Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
Kenny from Eastbound and Down.
Like my dad, the stories just go on and on. Like I'll come home and I'll send him pay-per-view chairs that have like my picture on it or whatever because he likes that stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'll send him four chairs, give them to the family, whatever. I come home and the four chairs are around the dining room table.
Yeah.
As in like used for dining room.
This is so sweet.
This is my dining room. It has a 6-foot tall, like poster, like not poster, but cardboard cutout. Yeah, cardboard cutout of me. He has all the action figures, everything. I'll look on the dining room table. There will be autographed like cards, like Topps cards of me. The problem with that is I never autographed them. So my dad autographs. He'll go to Kinko's and make like a million copies and sign them all and just give them to people. And he gets like free gym, free tanning. He'll get free everything, free
that's
whatever.
Fantastic, oh, yeah. Dude.
So that's...
What a character.
But he never tells me how good I am. Everyone tells me how proud. Your dad is so proud of you. I go, no, he's not. Every Monday, he tells me how terrible I am and how I should be more like Kofi or Evan or whoever. Neville. Now, Neville's his new favorite guy. So it's like, you should be more like these guys. I'm like, Dad, your genetics do not allow me to do the things that those people can do. So thanks.
So before we go on
the
to
last
the debate,
round, it's quick. It's a debate.
You have to pick a winner of that round.
I'm gonna go with Matt, to be completely honest with you. I mean, Theo was a little lackluster, to be honest. He made me wait for a question.
He had to go to other people for questions.
Fans. I mean, he went to fans.
Completely. Wow. Thank you. I will take that win very, very happily.
All right.
So now we move on to round three, which is the great debate. It's 1-1. So
it's round three. Does this happen often?
Sometimes. Yeah. A lot of people have trouble picking anybody, and we're like, come on, you can make a decision. Yeah, that's
I'll
why
make
we,
a decision.
We got you.
A decision.
So the last round is the great debate where we have a topic Theo and I disagree on. We raise it. We each have a minute to discuss, and then we open it up for a group discussion. Then you have to pick who won the podcast based on that. So this topic that we've chosen for today is something that I'm sure you have to tackle all the time because you fly so much. As you said, 250 whatever days a year. Using bathrooms on airplanes specifically to do a number two.
Okay. Wow. Matt, you take a side and you go first. Can we get 1 minute on the clock for him, please, Sean? Okay.
I've flown a lot in my life, and I have, and I've never done it, and I've had to. I just think it's disrespectful to everybody else around there, especially the people who have to sit there. So I hold it in the entire fucking flight, no matter how miserable it is.
What if it's a really long flight?
I did it when I went to South Africa. It was miserable. I just put it out of my mind and somehow like just focused on something else. So I'm personally against it because I think, more out of aside from the germ issues, which I have issues with in general, I do it because I'm uncomfortable with it, but I want to respect the people who are sitting there who are indeed going to have that smell for at least 5-10 minutes during the trip. I just will not do it.
I, on the other hand, think it's a great idea to release your bowels at different heights and levels. I think it's actually easier to defecate at above 25,000 feet, I've noticed, much more relaxing than grunting it out down here on the mainland. And I will say that I think being able to do things like that and open up your passageways and your mind to trying new adventures it helps in other ways. I ended up actually, I remember one flight that I ended up defecating on in the restroom that a few minutes later I met a girl and we ended up making out in our seats.
Wow.
And she also may or may not have had some mental health issues. I don't remember because she stayed on the plane the entire time once we landed and they came on and got her, which was a little crazy.
She was so traumatized.
But I couldn't tell, and this was on the way to Dallas.
Wow, okay. Okay, well, hey, listen, if you're open to new things, we should talk.
The buck stops there, dude.
Okay. So those are our sides. What is your opinion on it? And also pick a winner.
As a person that travels 250 days a year, I'm going to say that you are allowed to use the restroom.
Amen.
On a bathroom. That is what a bathroom is for. Is it just supposed to be there for looks? No, you need to use it.
Yeah.
Now, granted, have I walked in while someone just did that? Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Have I sat next to a bathroom? But I understand that some people just got to go. Yeah.
So it's an even playing field. Everybody has to understand that that's just the way it is.
It's just, and if you got the unlucky person that had to sit next to it, that's your fault. Yeah. You should have planned accordingly, and you can select your own seat, and you don't have to select it next to the bathroom. Now, if you really think about it, you're the closest to it, so if you really have to go, you can just push it in. No one really knows that you're really in there and how long you're in there for, so it works out well for you.
All right, fair enough. Yep. So
that's okay.
Ergo, I'm assuming that means
Theo is the winner.
Boomtown. Love your attitude.
Congratulations.
Love your attitude.
Congratulations, Theo.
Thank you very much. Well, I think it's, this guy's a champion. You know, and so he knows a champion when he sees one, and I respect that. You know,
and if you ever need help,
you're lucky you got one. I was shocked you even got one. Oh, to be completely honest with you.
Why do you hate me?
It's not hating on you. It's just I've known Theo for years upon years.
Yeah, bro, yeah. You're dealing with politics here.
I mean, yeah, you're dealing with politics. You know, it's not what you know; it's who you know.
Yeah, we rescued a pigeon, bro. Almost until someone murdered.
Oh, Petey the pigeon. Oh, Petey the pelican, or the penguin, or one of those.
R.I.P. Petey.
Well, thank you very much
Mike
for coming in, dude.
Thank you so much.
You can check out Santa's Little Helper and get it on DVD. What else?
Monday Night Raw. You can watch every Monday 8 to 11 on USA or on SmackDown on Thursdays on Sci-Fi, which I believe it's actually switching to USA quite shortly. So you're definitely going to want to stay tuned to that. But definitely watch both of those. Check out WWE.com to see where our live events are. Those are so much fun if you've never been to them. They're incredible. They're family fun. Bring your entire family, and I guarantee you'll leave with smiles on your faces. And check out the WWE Network. The WWE Network is WWE's basically like Netflix, Hulu. Wow. If you love, you know, wrestling, if you love original content, then you're going to love WWE Network. It's only $9.99, so it's cheap.
He is good at this. Well, he has been trained.
I wish they would have had it when I was a kid.
Honestly, Mike, we talked about how much do you have left in you as far as this goes? You talked about arthritis
long as it's fun, I'm going to keep doing it, you know, and it's a blast. There's nothing quite like being a WWE superstar. You don't get that instant gratification when you're doing movies or television regular series shows, that kind of stuff. So you with WWE, you get that instant gratification. You get those loyal fans. And, you know, I'm really happy with where I'm at.
All right. So we will be seeing you for many years to come.
And why don't you send some more gay and lesbian fans towards WWE's
way? I'm sure they're there. They're just not admitting it to themselves.
Ooh, there you go.
I like it.
I'm telling you they're there.
Sounds like we all need to come out of the closet and admit that we are wrestling fans at heart. I'm going to finish it off by saying this. The Miz is awesome.
Thank you very much.
And we don't have a championship belt for you, Mike, but we would like to present you with this.
This bottle of Dobel tequila.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you can't drink that much looking like this.
Well, you ask Theo.
He's from Ohio, bro. He doesn't even wear a winter coat. It's all whiskey. He starts from the inside, bro. This guy throws some great parties. He's a great time to be out on the town with. Yeah, a bottle of Dobel tequila, man. It's amazing.
Thank you guys very much. And I appreciate it.
If you ever need someone to come share it with or pour it for you, I'm your guy.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks.